You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology, hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 214 of the weekly Shared Security Show. And joining me this week are international peacekeepers, Scott Wright from Ottawa, Canada, and Kevin Johnson from Jacksonville, Florida, located in the United States. If you just didn't know where Jacksonville, Florida was.
Oh, okay. For those most people don't. It is amazing to me. Yeah. You know, there's actually more than one Jacksonville.
There is. I know. That's why I said Florida, USA. Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about when I landed in Charlotte and I ran to my gate that was the farthest gate away from where I landed possible? And as I started to board the plane, I realized it was going to Jacksonville, North Carolina.
That's not good.
No. And my gate to Jacksonville, Florida was next to the gate I had left.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to run back. And this fat body doesn't run very often.
If you ever get the chance to see Kevin in an airport, he's usually running. So
no. Well, there's also more than one Ottawa, right? There's an Ottawa, Kansas.
And that one's better than the Ottawa, Canada.
There's no trucks in Ottawa, Kansas.
Well, right. This is another good story that continues from our trucker protest. So there was actually a trucker who went to Ottawa, Illinois to protest.
Really?
I would argue that if you're a trucker, going to the right city is probably a core part of your job. I mean,
you might know where most cities are. Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like it's like we interviewed a guy by accident that was a pizza delivery guy, and he was late to the interview. And when we asked him, was there a problem? He's like, oh, yeah, I couldn't find the place. And the guy interviewing him with me, James Jardine, James actually said, I mean, like, according to your resume, the only job you've had is pizza delivery. Isn't finding places part of?
That's why he's not in pizza delivery anymore.
Right. There you go. Yeah. Accidentally interviewing people is never fun.
No, oh, man. No. So we have some stories this week, lots going on in the world. We will get to current events here, I think, in our Aware Much segment. We are all just trying to hopefully prevent World War III, but, you know,
not succeeding yet.
Yeah. It's a crazy time in the world right now. But the first story this week was about TikTok. And how it can circumvent Apple and Google privacy protections and access full user data. Now, this should not be a surprise to our listeners here that we've talked about TikTok and TikTok is spying on you. There was one episode we did on that, and it happened to be true. But this research was really interesting because I think it's probably one of the most detailed, I think, research that's been done on how the TikTok app actually works. And it's kind of fascinating because it is a very complex app. And in fact, TikTok does some things to ensure that it's difficult to reverse engineer because they really don't want, you know, cybersecurity professionals looking at how the secret sauce is done, right?
Nosing around, yeah.
That's right, right. Peeking around and finding the issues in the app, but
it's almost like they had enough resources. They might've been state sponsored.
Maybe it's almost like that. It's owned by a Chinese company. I don't know, but.
Oh,
I do want to say, and by the way, I believe absolutely they've made it harder to reverse engineer stuff specifically for that reason. But it bothers me that the research and we claim, oh yeah, that's why they did it. Because like when you read it, it's not, they didn't like do any obfuscation that isn't available to any other developer. They use C and C++ development, which changes how you call the libraries. Like it's not the same libraries or anything else like that. I guess my hesitation in saying, oh, this is because they want to be bad, is we don't know that. Assumption of intent that while, yes, I agree, it's probably accurate.
Well, it's also like they talked about with the browser that's within the TikTok app. It's mainly calling things constantly, and it's dynamically changing the JavaScript that's used within the app. So it can dynamically change to do really whatever they want it to do without updating the code within the native mobile app. I think that's the big significant difference than most apps.
That's actually very common in apps I've looked at.
Yeah. Okay.
And what I'd like to see, and I've not read anything, I've not read anything that says this. What I'd like to see is show me a case where they did it. Show me a case where, hey, this code that's been pulled down is bad or whatever, right? And the reason I say I want to see that is not because I don't believe they can do it. It's not because I don't believe that they have done it. It's that right now, when we say things like we being security, well, it's possible for them to load this down. Yes, every application we interact with that is web-based has the capability to do that. And so it becomes way too easy for people to disregard the warning, right? And that's the part that bothers me, is that what they are doing, and like I said, I totally believe that TikTok is tracking things that we don't want them to. I totally believe that TikTok is pushing code down. But we've seen no examples of this is the bad thing they did. And reading through these two papers, every single thing they called out that I read, and I'm not saying I was a comprehensive, exhaustive list of things in these papers, but every single thing they called out as, look at this bad thing that could have happened, those are normal, acceptable practices. Like if you give the device ID to an advertiser. Yeah. If the advertiser correlates device IDs across things, they have way more information than we think we're giving them. That's the problem with device ID.
Yeah. They do call out specifically, though, when compared to like the other popular social network apps like Facebook and Twitter, it is pretty unusual, the things that we're seeing, at least compared to those other apps, what TikTok is doing in terms of.
They are unusual when you compare it to Facebook. They are not unusual when you compare it to Facebook Reels, Instagram Stories, Twitter's video. What was that one? The plant one, Vine. Why could I not think of Vine?
Oh, that Vine, because that died on a vine.
I did. But everything I've read in these papers, they're comparing what I would consider apples to oranges, right? In one case, you're talking about a social media video app. Facebook is way more than that, right? I totally think we need to do this type of research. I totally think
that's
how
I called it
analysis.
Yeah,
I just want to see actual comparisons against comparable systems.
Yep.
Right. And that's it. And what I worry about, this is to say, I just had this conversation with somebody else about politics. When we point out things that are easily underminable, it hurts the overarching concern. I believe that TikTok is a concern. I believe that the Chinese government's control of an organization that is based in China but run software here in the US and in Canada and everywhere else is concerning and bad and something we need to look at. I just want to make sure that when we look at it and are concerned about it, we're saying real things, not supposed.
Yeah. That's a great point.
That's it. Yeah. And of course I'm a corporate shill. At least that's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting. I found it fascinating. Just some things, like you said, there are other apps that do this stuff too. Of, you know, if you uninstall the device or uninstall the app, you installed on another, like say a brand new phone, it knows that you had already previously installed it. I mean, there's things like that you know they're obviously tracking.
Yep.
And I'm fascinated just about the research of how their algorithms, so even outside of how the app was designed, right, but how their algorithms are so advanced and how they track the videos that you're watching to serve you other like videos. I mean, it's It's not the only app that is known to do the things that it does. So it's very powerful. That's the point there.
The tracking and the correlation that they do down to, okay, you watched that video partway through and this other video all the way through. So let's give you more like the other video. They absolutely are doing crazy stuff there. So I have a TikTok account. My daughter created it for me because she wanted to show me some stuff. And I've started playing around with it and looking at it more. And there's some funny stuff in there. There's stuff that's like, oh, that was enjoyable. I enjoy that. It seems to do way more of the correlation where it shows me stuff that I wouldn't expect it to know I was interested in, right? Like that type of stuff.
That's where it gets creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. Anecdotally, it's way more accurate to show me things, which is nuts. Yeah. Totally nuts to me.
Well, we will continue to follow the saga of TikTok and the privacy concerns, which we always do on the show. But since you mentioned politics, Kevin, we should let's jump into our Aware Much segment for this week with Mr. Scott Wright.
Yes, Tom. Thanks for that great intro. We are trying to protect our borders, I guess, or at least our sovereignty, call it. But we're, of course, all aware of the hostilities between Russia and the West that have arisen recently, and probably, hopefully, we're still around by the time this podcast comes out. But
shortly or ended, maybe.
Stick around 30 minutes and we'll see. But shortly after Biden announced sanctions against Russia, of course, the FBI was warning U.S. businesses and local governments to be alert for ransomware. And they seem to be particularly concerned about how ransomware might impact critical services. And that, when you think about it, just scratching below the surface, that's kind of a scary thing. It's clear that Russia doesn't exactly rein in their ransomware gangs, and they probably have even less incentive to do that at this time, right? They're potentially, any state-backed hackers are probably being encouraged to ramp things up. But there weren't any specific threats cited by the government, just the message that everyone should be on high alert for cyber attacks. And interestingly, here in Canada, a few weeks ago, Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, announced that we're going to support Ukraine. And of course, all of a sudden, cyber attack on the Canadian government's networks took place. It was successful enough to be made public anyway. Yeah. And so, you know, everybody was kind of aware of that possibility here. But I'm going to just sort of say this reminds me of a book I mentioned not long ago on the podcast called This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends by Nicole Perlroth, which has a lot of interesting sort of prescient stories in it, all about how Russia was using Ukraine as a testing ground for cyber weapons. Most of the things they were using were actually former NSA tools, apparently. But when you think about how much we rely on the internet for critical infrastructure, it's really scary. And if you're a critical infrastructure service or you're in the supply chain of one, then one targeted phishing attack could bring you down. And you think, well, you know, they would have done it by now. Well, not necessarily. I think a lot of times they have been known to save up vulnerabilities for this kind of situation. And so you never know what kinds of new attacks could appear, new kinds of phishing attacks, etc. So question is, are you ready? And is that from Ready Player One or something? Or was it War Games or something? Yeah. But just to take this to an awareness perspective, it's highly likely that any attack will start in the form of a phishing or social engineering scenario. And it's just a reminder that businesses need their employees to be ready to spot cyber attacks. And ClickArmor is the first and only security awareness platform that uses highly gamified interactivity to simulate cyber attacks that employees can actually see and exercise and build their skills in a fun way. So you can go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity, ask for a free trial, and we'll get you set up so you can see immediately how effective it can be to be able to sort of preview the kinds of phishing and social engineering attacks that your your people might face. So that's it for this installment of Aware Much.
What does it mean to go off the grid? Well, for most of us that are constantly relying on our smartphones, tablets, and laptops, it means shutting them off and doing some other activity, like getting outside or spending time with friends and family. Now, you're probably a lot like me and struggle with turning off or putting down that smartphone because we always feel the need to be constantly connected. Listen, it's hard to go off the grid, but the good news is that there are products that can help. So that's why I recommend using a silent Faraday bag, which can instantly block all wireless signals, quickly taking you off the grid and giving you back control of your wireless devices. Check out their full product line at slnt.com. And because you listen to this podcast, make sure you use discount code SHAREDSECURITY at checkout to receive 10% off your order.
I love your comment just about how we all need to be aware of social engineering and phishing emails and things like that. And, you know, I just had happened to look at the government warning here in the U.S. to businesses through CISA, right? And their page called Shields Up, essentially, like saying, impending attacks, shields up, just like in Star Trek, right? But they didn't really give any guidance on, you know, awareness of your employees to look out for phishing emails. It was more about, are your systems patched? Are your firewalls configured correctly? Do you have an incident response plan? Those other things, which are still very important, of course. But to your point, like the way that ransomware gets distributed is typically through a phishing or some type of social engineering.
Yeah, it's sad. I think, you know, the main thing that I always try to emphasize from a budget point of view, you need to balance the people, the processes, and the technology. And right now, most businesses have spent a lot on their technology, but not very much on the people and the processes. So that's really what we're trying to help people strengthen.
Yeah, I think that one of the things we always talk about with social engineering is like the urgency, the like when somebody tries to social engineer, they send the, there's this urgency to it. I think that, in my opinion, it's important to point out that, you know, the other side of the urgency is just as much, right? And with everything going on in the Ukraine, when events like this happen, people feel this need to go get more information, find out more stuff. So even social engineering attacks that don't leverage the, oh my God, this is important, do this.
Yeah.
People will fall for them because they have a level of urgency that they're bringing to the thing. And I've actually seen cases and worked cases where the attacker used that. And so when the person who was clicking the link, going through it, was looking at it, it didn't flag that, oh, there's a level of urgency here, there. Oh my God, I got to do this right now, because the attacker didn't. Yeah. It was the other person's urgency they brought to it. And
There's a whole spectrum of, you know, pretty much any emotion you can think of that would cause you to take any action during the day. The attackers know how to leverage, and urgency and you know, fear are the two biggest ones, but the others can be just as effective. If the attacker actually has any knowledge, has done any research on you, they can find your hot buttons, the things that you care about and the things that you're going to act on without thinking, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be fear, but you're right. I mean, this is exactly what happened with the pandemic. When it started, you know, cyber attacks rose and there was all kinds of attention paid on that. But what was actually growing as almost as quickly were the disinformation or misinformation types of phishing emails, like, Here's an update from the World Health Organization. Click this link to see, you know, the growth in whatever. And it wasn't an urgent thing, but like you said, Kevin, it's people feel an urgency and a need for news during sort of crisis times. And that's what attackers are really good at, taking the news and within a day or two creating a pretext or some kind of scenario that people will react to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So our last story of the week. We're going to talk about AirTags and the new anti-stalking measures that have appeared in iOS 15.4 beta. So as you know, air tags have been used for nefarious purposes over the last several months. We've had some of the stories we've talked about on this show, mainly to track and stalk people, which, of course, they're being used for that, right? That's a natural byproduct of a device meant to track things. So people are being tracked with this. And so Apple has gotten a lot of heat, right? That they're just too easy for, say, a criminal to use to track people. So they have put in some new features, including one where, you know, which, of course, I don't think this is going to do much, is just the privacy notice that pops up during setup that says, please don't use this for nefarious purposes. This is against the law and please be good. Right. But other things they're putting in is like, you know, alerting users when an unknown air tag is detected in their presence. And there's some things with the ultra wideband, I think, tracking ability now that they can now extend that out. So, you know, there's that notice is more frequent, right? And then more notifications around that too.
And the ultra wideband gives you a much more granular location for them, right? And so that was the thing that I was happy to see them add. That was for all the things they did, that was the one that was the big one to me, was because if I have an AirTag that I own, I can use the ultra wide that thing to find out exactly where it is in my house, right? Like, oh, it's in the couch. It's all right over there. But if it gave me the warning that said, hey, there's this AirTag that's been following you, because it wasn't mine, I didn't have that ability to do that granularity. So that's really the important thing because, and then I'll use Disney World as the example, right? I'm a big fan. People probably know that.
Star Wars,
Yeah, maybe something, you know. And there were people at Disney World that were like, oh, my God, I was being tracked. And like they dug into it and it was like, no, actually, you weren't being tracked. You were in a crowd of people all walking the same way. Right. And I'm not like, I get it. Right. You got this warning on your phone that you've never seen before. It's like, that's tracking me. Stalkers, they're going to murder me. I get that. Right. But. Not being able to say, okay, well, where is it? It's because they were like, oh, I think it was in my bag, but I didn't find it. So the attacker the bad guy must have taken it out of my bag. No, it wasn't in your bag. It was in the person in the tram ride behind you.
Right.
Right. So giving that ability for you to go, okay, where is it? Show it to me. And using that ultra high wideband, that's good.
It is good.
But the other thing I think was interesting was, and I want to ask, because I don't have an iPhone anymore. It says, you know, in the article we're going to link, was that, you know, it's unidentified pair of AirPods, not AirTags. Okay, so serious question. Who's spending that much on a pair of AirPods to track somebody?
So there is a way that you can use the AirPod to listen in. Yep, on conversations. I tested it out at my house. It actually works really well. You could take one of your AirPods and just put it in another room and you can
use it as a microphone.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm glad they added it. I just like, dang, that's an expensive way to track someone.
Yeah, it is. It is. The other thing to note too is that they've added, you know, the alert noise that the AirTag can give off. They've also sent now a notification when the alert goes off. So if you lost something, right, you can now hear it. So that's the other thing.
I think that this is one of those cases where I think you have a device that has a really neat feature. The Tile was where this
came from.
But the prevalence of iPhones and Apple devices make this so much more easy to do, more easierist. that's the part I think is where the tipping point maybe. I could use a Tile to track you, but the chance of somebody else having the app with a Tile where you are is very small.
Yeah.
Using an iPhone to track you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Very good point.
All right. Well, great topics this week, gentlemen. And let's all hope for, you know, no more violence over in Russia and Ukraine, that whole situation. Yeah, it is messed
hope
up.
Hope to see you next week.
Yeah, we hope to see you all next week. And we're not in some nuclear bunker somewhere. But yeah, definitely check out our Reddit community if you haven't yet. We post lots of stories, lots of things that other articles that don't make it into the show. We have some discussion on, or Kevin will comment that he gets angry. Always never. Fun.
Don't know what you're talking
always
about.
Fun. So check that out. But until next time, we'll talk to you all next week.
That's all for this week's show. Visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all previous episodes and to sign up for our email newsletter. Looking for shared security merch? Be sure to check out our shop at store.sharedsecurity.net. Don't forget, you can always find us on Twitter at SharedSec. And if you like this episode, please share it with friends and colleagues. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.